I'll be reading from
Chapter 28, verse 19, and then Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere.
I once read about a minister who had an interesting approach to evangelism. As a minister, he collected whiskey bottles. According to the story, and from what I understand this is true, he collected 30,000 whiskey bottles over a 30-year period. This man, little by little, threw the empty bottles into a river that empties into the Gulf of Mexico, and as he pitched each bottle into this river, there was a Bible message inside. He took the time to put a message into each bottle. Now, one might think that if you did that over an extended period of time and threw thousands of bottles into a river, few, if any, would ever be found and opened. But this man, over that 30-year period, found that he received thousands of replies from 29 states and 8 foreign countries. Some of the replies were from people who said that they were associated with Christianity, but they had backslidden. Others expressed an interest for the first time, and it's been said that this minister engaged in what's been called bottle evangelism. One of the areas where God's people can make some compromises, and that's what we've been talking about for a little while, is evangelism. God said go, but not everybody does. God said teach all people, but we find that there are times when members of the church fail to do that. To help us avoid making some concessions in the area of evangelism, I want this morning to look at evangelism in the form of an acrostic. That is, I'm going to take each letter in evangelism and make that stand for a point. Now, obviously, evangelism has 10 letters, so that means 10 different points. So these are going to be given a little faster than usual. So if you don't have time to actually run the references as you normally do, perhaps writing them down will be helpful, or I can give them to you at a later time. Our first letter, and thus our first point, comes from E. The E in evangelism, we're going to let that stand for every member. In Acts chapter 2, we find that for a period of time, each apostle was involved in evangelism. The apostles were the people who were teaching. But after the church continued to grow, we find that people besides the apostles began to teach. There was a persecution. This is described in Acts 8. I'm going to be reading verses 1 and 4. And this caused some people besides the apostles to certainly be involved in teaching. And Saul was thus consenting to his death. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And now verse 4. They therefore that were scattered abroad went about preaching the word. There are at the present time some people who are comfortable leaving the work of evangelism in the hands of a select few. But folks, that is a compromise. That's not God's plan. Evangelism is not something that can be left to the preacher, to the elders, or turned over to anyone else. When we do not have every member involved in the Great Commission, that is, in evangelism, we have compromised the Great Commission. Each Christian has a responsibility to either teach people or to bring the people that they know to someone who can teach them. The V in evangelism stands for visitation. And this is an area where we can make some compromises. I'm turning down to Matthew 25, 36, if you want to find the reference. As we think about our day and time, we recognize that there are some people who need to be visited. The Lord expects people to be involved in visitation. In Matthew 25, as Jesus described a scene from the judgment, he says that how we dealt with visitation, that will be taken into account at this time. In verse 36, he said, naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. And then Jesus went on to say, in prison, and though he did not use the word visit there, it is implied. It is possible to make some compromises in the area of visitation. If people get sick, we can forget about them, neglect them, or just kind of silently reason, I'm sure they're going to get better, so why bother to see them? Now, that's sad to say, but I'm convinced that there are sometimes some cases where people do that very thing. We're sure they're going to live. It's not a fatal kind of surgery. They'll surely get better. But folks, those are not the kinds of compromises that please God. The Lord does not treat us that way. He does not look at his people and say, well, they're having a difficult struggle, but I'm sure that they'll go ahead and manage to get through it, so I'll just tend to something else. No, it doesn't work like that. The third compromise is found in the A of evangelism. There are members of the church who are absentees. We're surely aware of the fact that there are some who are not faithful members of the church. At times, there are Christians who slip little by little away from the faith. It's easy for people to drift and to not notice them. At this congregation, we've taken some steps towards dealing with absenteeism, and these steps are right. In Galatians 6:1, Paul said, "Brethren, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one." When God's people begin to slip away, the acrostic in evangelism tells us that our goal needs to be restoration. As John described, we need to help people sometimes return to the first love. If we do not pay attention to this area, we have shirked one of our Christian duties. We've made a compromise that's inconsistent with God's will. The N in evangelism stands for new members. When we do our part, when we carry out the Great Commission, we will grow. Things like visitation will help move us forward, and some of our growth will be attributed to evangelism. When people become new Christians, we need to help them. This is in different parts of the New Testament, but I want to read for you what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. At the end of that chapter, he said, "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience unto the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from a pure heart fervently." Those who are converted to Christ need to grow. In some cases, the church compromises in this area. It compromises in how it responds to new Christians. There are cases, both here and elsewhere, where Christians, new ones, are left on their own. In some cases, there have been converts who have essentially been abandoned by people, and they're going to sink or swim without any help from fellow Christians. That's not right. That's not consistent with God's will. It can be compared, if we think about Jesus' analogy in John chapter 3, he talked about a new birth. What would we think of a mother who gives birth to a child and perhaps for the first day or two, perhaps for the first week or even the first month, tends to the child? But after that short period of time expires, she abandons her baby. Unthinkable. But yet that same kind of thing can happen in the spiritual realm. People are spiritually born. Jesus said they're born anew, John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. And perhaps for the first day, for the first week, for the first month, or for the first 2 or 3 months, people are cared for, they receive a little attention, but then they're left to fend for themselves. It's not right. And it's certainly not consistent with God's will. When we fail to help or support new Christians, we evade another spiritual responsibility. The G in evangelism is going to stand for giving. To go into all the world, that does require some money. We need to pay for literature and teaching aids. Those who teach are supported. Efforts like our house-to-house work require funds, and the New Testament does not allow us, does not permit us to solicit funds from the world. When John wrote his epistles, he said, "Taking nothing of the Gentiles." And if we were to take money or ask for money from outside the church, we would compromise the gospel. You may remember from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, Paul said in talking to the Corinthians, "Let each one of you," that is the members of the church, don't go down and solicit money from people. But Paul said you need to go ahead and take money from among yourselves. The E in evangelism stands for every member in class. One of the most valuable resources that we have within a local congregation is the weekly Bible class. A class is a time where people can share experiences. The Bible is able to be viewed in a way that is different from all other ways. If the Great Commission is something that we take seriously, if this is something that we believe in, one of the best resources that we have at our disposal to help better equip us to carry out the commission is the weekly Bible class. Our Bible classes, if we will use that particular resource, they will give us a better understanding of the Scriptures. Being in classes allows us to have a better understanding of some passages because we can explore some texts in depth. It's also possible in Bible classes to see how some passages are misapplied. Not every Bible class is going to be 5 stars. That's true here and everywhere else. There may be some classes that we don't like or some classes that we don't enjoy. But folks, regular attendance at Bible classes will make us better Christians. God said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, that we are to grow. And I'm here to let you know that the Bible class is like fertilizer. It will help all people of all ages grow and mature. It will equip us to be better Christians and carry out the Great Commission. Concerning the word L in evangelism, the word lost comes to mind. Evangelism is all about seeking those who are lost, that is, the unsaved. As God's people, if we have been saved, if our soul has been rescued from Satan's kingdom, we now need to think about the unsaved. We need to give consideration to the fact that there are a whole bunch of people who are not in a right relationship with God, and they are on the wrong road. This was something that concerned Paul. He talked about it at different times, but one of the passages that comes to my mind when I think about Paul and evangelism is 1 Corinthians 9:22. It was so important to Paul that he said, "To the weak, I became weak." How come? "That I might gain the weak." And then he said, "I am become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some." Paul said, "I'm going to do whatever I can to save the Lord." And if we're a Christian, that needs to be our goal too. We need to do whatever we can to help people find Jesus. If they don't, they're going to be eternally lost. If we do not tell people about salvation and we do not show them the right road, who will? When we apply the information that's been given, we're going to see an increase. And the word increase represents the I in evangelism. In the first century, the members of the church evangelized and they grew. According to Acts 2, when the church was first established, several thousand people became Christians. And as you look at the early chapters of Acts that follow that information, you find regular growth. One of the places where this growth is described is Acts 5, verse 14. "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women." In other passages, we read about growth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase." Today, there are religious groups who compromise the gospel so they can grow. And that's possible. It is possible to preach a compromised gospel and grow. Not too difficult to fill up a religious building. But you know, God's not interested in mere growth. He's interested in growth without compromises to His Word. And that needs to be the goal that we have. We want to grow. We want to increase. But the apostles increased with folks who are abiding by the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2, verses 41 and 47. And that needs to be our goal and our technique as well. To be an effective member of the Lord's army, we need to concentrate on the right thing. And this may be described with the S in evangelism, and I'm going to let the S stand for set. I use the word S for set because of what Paul said to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In this chapter, Paul talked to some people who had changed their spiritual clothes. They'd lived an old life. They had lived in the ways of the world. They knew what was wrong, and Paul said, "You've changed directions." And as he prefaces this information in verses 1 and 2, he describes it in this manner. "If then ye were raised together with Christ," and here's the S. Paul said, if you become a Christian, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated on the right hand. And then verse 2, "Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth." And then he explains what those things are. God is concerned about what we do. If we will set our mind, Colossians 3 verse 2, on the things that are above, we will have the right mission. And the word mission is standing for the M, the last letter in evangelism. For the scripture reading, we heard portions of Mark 16 and Matthew 28 read. And those passages tell us that the church of our Lord has a mission. There are a lot of religious groups that have a lot of different religious ideas. They have a lot of different programs. But if we come to the New Testament and we ask the question, what is God's mission for the church? It is a spiritual hospital. It is a place where lost people are to be brought so that they can be exposed to Christ, so that they can contact the benefits of Jesus' blood, so that they can enter into Christ and be saved. The church has been given the mission of teaching the people in their local community and throughout the entire world. And folks, we can accomplish that mission when every member is active, when we engage in visitation, when we contact our absentees, when we take those new members and instead of dipping them and dropping them, we involve them in what we're doing. We give of both our means and ourselves. We have everyone in class. We're saving souls that are lost. And we are committed to the standard that God has given to us, Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. We will grow. And we will be the church of the New Testament. These were the things that were done by the first century Christians. These were the things that motivated them. As you look at the book of Acts, these were the things that they considered to be important. And if we're committed to God's will and His plan for our day and time, these need to be the very things that we are concerned about too. Are we committed to being the Lord's spiritual body? Do we, if we become a Christian, see every day as another opportunity to serve Jesus Christ? Have we ourselves had someone who believed in the Lord's great commission come to us and say, "We want you to hear the gospel of Christ"? And did we obey? We hope that you've been exposed to the Great Commission, that someone knocked on your door, someone took the time to sit down and teach you about Jesus, and we hope that after that teaching was done, that you said, yes, I want to become a Christian. There may be some here this morning who have been exposed to the Great Commission from what's been said this morning or in the past, but you've never acted on it. Jesus told his people from the scripture reading, Mark 16:15-16, that they needed to go into all the world, that they needed to tell people about the Lord. And those who believed, Jesus said that they also needed to be baptized. When people, acting upon their belief, were willing to live in the way that the Lord describes, the kind of life that we read about in Colossians 3, verse 2, they were told to be baptized so that they could be saved, Mark 16:15, so that they could be associated with the Lord, Matthew 28:19-20, so that they could have their sins remitted or washed away. Acts 22:16. And then they in turn, because they had been saved, had that duty, had that responsibility to go out and teach others. One of the areas where we do not want to make compromises is the area of evangelism. God has given us a commission. He said go. We need to take that seriously. We need to take that responsibility seriously each day and do the best that we can with it, because one day we'll answer for how well we responded to this part of the gospel. Can we, as a Christian, help you better fulfill the Lord's Great Commission? Or can we help you in a different way? That is, help you to become a Christian. Help you to become one of the people that Jesus wants to have in his spiritual body. If we can restore you as a child of God, or if we can help you become a Christian, and you're ready to do that right now, we ask that you come as we stand and sing the selected song.